Now I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people that are beginning to understand that they have all they need for life and godliness in their spirit. Just sometimes our circumstances have to find that out. But that doesn't mean we measure ourselves by our circumstances and by the world we live in, because we still have got the flesh to contend with. We all know that when we're late for a meeting and, you know, the dog makes a mess and the kid screams and you slam the door on your finger and you act like a real saint in those predicaments. So we all know we still live in the flesh. We've got the typical identity of the flesh to deal with: self-righteousness, self-centeredness, self-sufficiency, all those things. But we're not living from the flesh. That's why Paul says, from now on let no man consider you after the flesh, but any man who's in Christ is a new creation. On the inside of you, there's a brand new, identical to Jesus, born again, never existed before, species. It's the creation of God. And when we begin to live out of that life, through the renewing of our mind, the world around us has got to be impacted by that light, by that change. Amen? We're going to take up our morning offering. Last week I shared a little bit around the subject of, in speaking about faith, and faith really being in the goodness of God. Our faith is not something we have to increase by what we do. Our faith is just a response to the goodness of God. And part of that response is sometimes an action. It's the obedience of faith. It's doing something practically that's an outworking of what I really believe. And we looked at the story Jesus told of the shrewd manager who gave to change his future. And his master commended him because he looked beyond his present into the future. And part of our giving, when I let go of this marches in my hand here, this boodle, I'm doing it not because I think by giving I can twist God's arm to give me something. I'm giving because I believe God has already taken care of all my needs and can meet all my needs according to His riches and glory. And all that this act does is it just affirms and confirms that I know who my provider is. I know who my source is. But in my giving, there certainly is a seed sowing for the gospel that increases the harvest so that this word can get out and produce fruit wherever it goes. Amen. So that's kind of, if we take the subject of grace, how it applies to finances, is grace means God has taken care of all my needs. And now faith is responding to that truth. And faith responds by the real power of money is demonstrated in its giving. Now we all have a circle of needs that we have. We've got to pay our bills and pay our dues. We've got certain dreams and things we trust in God for. And that circle is different for different people. But when, in this area of giving, let's not lose sight of the fact that God loves a cheerful giver, someone who knows where his resource is coming from. Be a sad day if we thought we could twist God's arm by our giving. What a sad day that would be. That would be nothing short of manipulation at best, and at worst some kind of protection money. Like God sends out the mafia angels. You want to get your house burnt down? You better give to Jesus. Shame. That would be such a tragedy. But our giving is our positive response to the faith we have that our God has supplied what we need. So Lord, as we bring our tithes, we declare together, Father, thank you for your kingdom, which we are endeavoring to see increased as we preach this gospel of truth to see people set free. Thank you for the great privilege I have in sowing into this future and seeing it change the future lives of many, many people. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. So we know that we've been looking at the subject of grace for some time now. Grace, I like that acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. GRACE. It's everything that Jesus accomplished for us has already been done. And now, faith takes hold of that or activates it. Faith isn't twisting God's arm to do something that He didn't want to do. It's taking hold of what He's already done. And we can apply that to many aspects of our life. So we've been looking at finances. This morning I want to look at the subject of prayer. And I want to look at the subject of prayer through this grid, that all our needs have been met through the finished work of the cross. And now how does our prayer... You see, faith has to have a response. Paul said, it's no longer I who live. He knew that his new identity was Christ. The real man in him was the man of the Spirit. But he had to live a life of faith. Because there's two extremes when we come to the subject. The one is the extreme of, well, whatever God's will is God's will. And in that place, we kind of, everything is, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. It must have been God's will because it happened. Sarah, Sarah. I can pray, but really, God's already made up His mind what to do. And that leads to a kind of an apathy, a complacency, a passiveness in our prayer life. But there's another extreme of prayer, which is the performance. In other words, you know, the books, and I've read a lot of the books, you know, the E.M. Bounds and many great books on prayer. But the hypothesis is, unless the church is praying more fervently, nothing on earth is going to happen. And I want to say, I actually believe that. I believe without prayer, we won't see revival. Without prayer, we won't see the lost saved. Without prayer, we won't see churches planted. So I believe, if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on this side. Of performance, if you like, than the side of passivity, which is, well, it must just be God's will. Now, can you just hold those two tensions in your mind for a while? Because I'm going to come back to them. First of all, let me say this, that this faith life we call to live as Christians, this new life we live, is expressed through relationship with our Father. What is that? That's prayer. I mean, prayer is your spiritual oxygen. Prayer is your spiritual connection with God all the time. Now, Paul assumes this and he says, pray without ceasing. I mean, can you cease from being a born-again Christian? Can you be born-again, unborn-again, born-again, unborn? In the same way, our breathing in and out, is kind of synonymous with what the Spirit does when it's just... sometimes praising, sometimes asking, sometimes affirming, sometimes just adoring, sometimes your spirit is in a place of communication, or should be growing more and more. Our mind has to find out how much our spirit loves the presence of God. Your spirit loves to be in the presence of God. You, the real you, the person I'm talking to. And this is why we have to study the Bible, not to find out what we must and mustn't do. I mean, we ruined that. I mean, I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Yeah, but how did you read it? If you just read it as a book of to do and not to do, you got condemned at best, and at worst, you became a Pharisee. What we study the Bible for is to rediscover the covenants of God, and the better covenant, we find out the Father heart, what He's opinion is of me, what my real identity is because of the miracle of rebirth, and now I can find out what He's called me to do based on that grace. Grace is everything God does. Amen? Say God's part is grace. That's God's part. Everything that is unearned, undeserved, unmerited, finished at the cross, the better covenant, the Father heart is all wrapped up in the grace. Now say my part. Is faith. My part is responding to what He's done. Now, in that way, we live this life, and prayer is part of that response, if you like. Prayer will reveal, are we living out of what He has provided, or are we living out of a religious mindset? Hello? So, there's a couple of things here. Let me throw a for instance out. Let me give you an example. We invite to the church a healing evangelist. He's got a repertoire of raising people from the dead frequently. Hey, it's a great church service to be at. Amen. He comes here and they wheel in a dead man. And the drums play in the background. And he stands up and he walks in front and he says, "Who believes that God can raise this man from the dead?" And you get so excited, you want to go to the graveyard and just bring everybody you know. And then he says, "Okay, we're going to pray for this person and they're going to rise from the dead." And you're sitting there on the edge of your seat. And then he says, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to come and pray for them. Now, what happened in your emotional condition? You went from this elated, excited, full of faith to a little bit of a... You see, this demonstrates a lot about faith in relation to prayer. Is we believe, or we're coming to believe that God is good all the time. We're coming to believe God can do all things. But we're not so sure if He wants to do it through me. And if He wants to do it for me. We have no problem believing God can. The challenge we have. And that reveals something of our lack of confidence in this wonderful subject of grace. That He has already made provision for all things. If He hasn't made provision for something, my faith can't get it. But my prayer, for example, I have absolutely no idea where I am. But I want to stay in the glory, James. Amen. There are these two extremes, performance and passivity. And while on the one side, grace has made provision for everything I need, I still need, as Hebrews 4 verse 11 says, maybe Ash, if you don't mind, just the scriptures this morning, says that we should make every effort to enter our rest. Now you're beginning to understand this place of rest is in the finished work of the cross. This place of rest is we're in this new Sabbath, which is the place of confidence in what He's done. Yet, even though we're in that place, we have to make every effort. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? Well, it's not, because there is an effort we have to make. What effort do we need to make? Well, we need to make the effort to renew our mind. Sitting on my blessed assurance in front of the TV 24/7 doesn't help me learn how to make every effort to enter my rest. If I'm going to enter my rest, I've got to find out what this means, and I've got to have my mind renewed. Then I've got to stand on those promises. I've got to believe them. Jesus said, if any two of you agree on earth, it's got to come in agreement with God's word. Nothing will be impossible to you. The third thing we've got to do is declare it. Or the word we use is prayer. So we need the truths of all the riches we have in Christ's grace. We need those as they renew our mind. We stand on them in the face of opposing, conflicting circumstances. And we keep speaking them out, praying them, declaring them, prophesying them. That's the agreement of faith. Remember that scripture about Elisha said that he was a man with the same infirmities as you and I, yet he prayed that for 7 years it wouldn't rain, and 7 years it did rain, and God, and then it says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, 10 years ago that would have meant we had to come to a meeting and all start confessing our sins and tell God how wicked and dirty and evil we are. And maybe if we can get a whole lot of people feeling really bad about their sins and bad about all the stuff going on in the world and all the inequalities and say sorry again and again to one another, you know, that maybe in that environment God will eventually say, okay, well I suppose now I'll have to bless you. No, now we've discovered that the prayer of a righteous man is somebody who knows who they are in Christ. They know who they are after the Spirit. That the righteousness we boast about is not the righteousness we get by doing something, it's the righteousness we have because of what Christ did. That is not self-righteousness, that is His righteousness that we stand in. When we stand in that kind of righteousness, everything that Jesus provided through grace can become a reality. But I've got a part to play in it. It says, make every effort. Part of that is believing, changing, standing and praying. That's why I want to go back to what I said earlier. That without prayer, there's no revival. Without prayer, we don't see a lot of things happening in our lives. We don't, if we're not praying, we don't see all that Christ provided for becoming a reality. But it's how we pray that I want to talk about this morning. Because this is not twisting God's arm or manipulating God's arm or trying to get God to do something He didn't really want to do. You know what I mean? I mean, let me push a pause there. And so I'm really excited about what's happening in the church at the moment. I must tell you. I've been in this church for 16 years, and we've been around for a couple of years, and we've been watching what's, and right now it's probably one of the most exciting, wonderful times in what we believe God is doing. Part of that was releasing two congregations into the city. Isn't that great to be part of that? This little church at 10 Harvey Road has released 20 families. 20 families to be part of taking this gospel and going into their communities where they can maybe serve better and be more effective, and by doing that we've sown for the gospel. So don't tell me about the tent, alright? 20 families is a good seed to throw out into the community, or seed taken by God. Now they must be praying that the scaffolding that they got there is going to be helpful to reach that community. In the same way, we as a people of God have to pray that God is going to bring the lost, bring the sick, bring families, bring people that can hear the gospel in our city, in the Howard area, so that we can continue to be a blessing into the communities. Amen. We cannot be a blessing unless we're blessed. So we need to add faith to that. And how do we do that? We pray. I mean, look at the empty seat next to you this morning and say, I see in the Spirit a family that God is bringing that needs to hear the gospel of grace and that needs to be impacted by a community that will love them and see God's best in their lives. Amen. Now, how is God going to do that? Are these people going to fall out of heaven? My wife's got more faith than I have. The last time I looked, I saw you had to actually invite somebody. You had to be praying for your neighbor, your colleague, your backslidden friend, your etc., etc., etc. So that's how it works. Okay? Now, there's not enough place in this church that if you just brought one family each, so it's not a crisis, but I just thought I should bring it to your attention, what we've done and what we believe in God for. I see three communities in this city exploding and just replanting and just re-equipping. Now this subject of prayer, like we just did now, we prayed because Jesus has already shed His blood for all these people. You know that all their sins have been forgiven already, but they've got to hear the message. Somebody's got to tell them the truth so that they can respond to the truth. And unless we're praying, that doesn't happen. Now, how do we pray? Well, we've just prayed. But we can either pray in faith in what Jesus is doing, or we can pray in such a way that we think we actually love these people more than God does. Oh, Lord, you know, this cousin of mine, God, I know he's been bad, he's been wicked, but Lord, please look past his sinfulness. Please look past his rebellion. Lord, I know he's deep down, he's a good person. Please help him, Lord. You've got to save him. Jesus, please. Oh, if I can get the whole neighborhood praying for him at the same time, at the same moment, maybe God will go, all right, all right. Or we can pray knowing that God loves them so much more than you do. He's already died for all their sins, past, present, and future. And now He's waiting for someone to open their mouth and share the good news with them. Not religion, not what they should do and what they shouldn't do, not how to fit in with the new crazy-matic bunch of Christians, but how God loves them so passionately and dearly, and that their pasts have been wiped out the moment they put their faith in Jesus. That's prayer. You see? One John 4 says, this is the confidence. In fact, let's put this verse up. It's 1 John 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And the next verse says, and we know that if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask Him. How should we pray? We should pray from a position that God's grace has given us everything we need, but we still have to make an effort to see that apply in our lives or in others' lives. That prayer with thanksgiving. Look at Colossians 4 verse 2. It says, this is the power of prayer that's based on knowing that God hears us and He has given us. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. There you go. Be what your spirit wants to do, which is just devoted to God in relationship and fellowship. And while you're in that position or that atmosphere, be watchful. Oh, there's a situation. There's someone needs help. That family over there. Be watchful. Be watchful. Be alert. Because when you pray the prayer of faith, you can change the world around you through prayer. Be watchful. Be watchful. I think the King James uses the word vigilant. It's just be alert. Be alert. In this being devoted to prayer and relationship with God, be watchful and thankful. What is giving thanks? We can, in faith, give thanks for something we don't see yet, but thanks is for something we've already received. I tell you what, church, we've got to learn how to pray the prayer of thanksgiving. This backslidden, lost cousin of mine who's turned his back on God, I'm going to start giving thanks for him. Because as I start thanking God for him, I'm drawing on the finished work of the cross for his life. I'm not trying to twist God's arm. I'm not trying to hold God's answer out at the end of a 21-day fast. Nothing wrong with fasting. Fasting is good for you, especially when you get to about my age. But fasting doesn't twist God's arm to do something that he's already paid for. My faith is what pleases God. Nothing else. As I begin to give thanks in this situation, as I begin thanking Him, the prayer of faith. Let's look at Ephesians 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to Him, Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. So your greatest prayers, your most eloquent prayers, all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. You see, God's already put something on the inside. He's already filled us with this all-surpassing knowledge of His love, the width, the length, the breadth, the height. Knowing God in that kind of way inside your spirit man has to cooperate with what you wanting to see God change and bring about. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, that this grace wasn't without effect in my life. He says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. When he was so filled with the knowledge of God's love, the knowledge of God's greatness, when he was so convinced in that place, something in him constrained him to make every effort, to keep pressing in, not to sit back in passivity and a kind of laziness that says, well, if God's will, it's God's will. If God wants to save this man, then God can save him. But at the same time, we don't think through our performance in prayer we can make God do anything that he hasn't already done through what Jesus accomplished. I'll give you an example of this. Jesus said, at least, let me just quote these two scriptures. In 2 Peter 3:9, he says that God's not willing that any should perish. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's not wanting anyone to perish? Amen. So he's wanting everyone to come to repentance. That's God's heart. Do you believe that? Now, if that's what he wants, that's what should happen, eh? Automatically. Okay, well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. You don't have to put it up, Ash, but it's a long passage. But Jesus is talking about there's a broad way and there's a narrow way. Many will choose the broad way and very few will come the narrow way. Very few will come to a place in putting their faith in Him. So on the one hand, it's God's will that everyone should be saved, but the reality is, not everybody does. So it's not just a passivity that, oh, now that I'm saved by grace and I'm living in the finished work of the cross and God has accomplished everything that I need for life and godliness, I can just sit back and be complacent and live in apathy. No, now I live by faith. The faith of the Son of God who died for me. I live by that kind of faith. And that faith is expressed through prayer. If we could use an illustration here. Someone comes and says, I don't know why God didn't give me this new job that I've been praying about. You know, I've been reading my Bible 3 times more than I used to read it. I've been coming to 3 times more meetings than I used to come to. I'm giving 3 times more than I used to. I don't understand if this stuff really works. Because after all, I still prayed and I didn't see this thing happening in my life that I was believing for, I was trusting for. Where's the faulty thinking there? You see it? It has something to do with they thought by doing certain things, their prayer should be answered. Now let me set you free. If you never gave another cent in your life, if you stayed stingy, Jimmy, not Jimmy, but my, you know, if you stayed stingy, I've got to find another name. It's just unfortunate. You're the only, not him. He's very generous. But if you stayed stingy for the rest of your life, God would not love you any less or any more, and all the provision that He made for life and godliness, He who looks after the birds and the grass and the flowers, He's still your Father and He would still take care of you. If you never went to church again in your life, you just got offended and a little bit miffed, a little bit irritated, God's love wouldn't change one little bit. God's fathering in your life wouldn't change one little bit. If you never read your Bible again. But let me say it. It would be absolutely stupid not to want to go to church again. I mean, come on, someone's got to get up here and tell the truth even if you don't like it. If you never read your Bible again. I mean, come on. That's crazy. Never to give. I mean, this life's too short. Like I said last week, I want to save you the embarrassment of standing before getting into heaven one day and they start singing that song. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a life that was changed because of what you gave. And you say, oh, nobody told me that. I would have given more. This ring, this diamond necklace, this third Jaguar, this 15th beach cottage. If only you told me. Nobody's singing to me. I want to save you from that embarrassment, you see. So I'm going to take up another offering now. So we see that it's not wrong to do these things, but when I think somehow these things contribute to what God should do in my life, maybe the Father in His love just has to just hold something, not from us, but for us, until we understand grace. What's all this big deal about grace? What's all this big deal about grace? No, it's a big deal. Because until we understand that it's unmerited, unearned, Father heart, better covenant, you have been made perfect, you have been made righteous, you have been forgiven, past, present, and future. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you more. There's nothing you can make to make you love you less. Until that is not just in your head, but rules your heart, rules you in your spirit, you can never live fully free in faith. Faith will always be connected to what I think I do or do not do. Oh Lord, please, oh, let's gather the church. God, please, oh, wouldn't you come to us next week? Won't you bring your presence? We beg you, Lord. Oh, we're so desperate. More, Lord. And actually, God has said, wherever two or three are gathered, I'm there. Hello? Me? Guys, just break up your little prayer meeting there. I'd like to be with you for a bit. That's in Matthew 18, verse 20. Or this spiritual attack. Oh, I'm definitely going to have to get the elders to come and pray. I'm very definitely going to have to do spiritual warfare. I'm definitely going to have to fast. God, please, Lord, would you take this demon away? And you might just hear God say, draw near to me, resist the devil, and he will flee. Who does that? God or the angels or you? So we have to resist. How do we resist him? With truth. We resist him with the truth of his word. Lord, would you please anoint us? I mean, I pray this all the time. I'm going to slap myself up. You know, you only have to hear this for an hour on a Sunday. I've got to hear it like all week. You know, next time I'm praying, Lord, would you please anoint me? He says, what part of the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me? Because he has anointed me. He made all the provision for the anointing the day he sent the Holy Spirit. He made all the provision, as 1 John says, that the anointing you've received is in you. You see, we can pray wonderful long prayers, but if we pray them in unbelief, they're futile. We can pray wonderful long prayers and get the whole city praying, but if it's prayed in unbelief, it accomplishes nothing except it looks religious. And religion begins when we stop believing in the unmerited goodness of God as finished at the cross and think that we've got something to do to get it done. And without us, you know, it's not going to get done. God's just looking for channels. You say, God, you did it. Now, but I walk in faith and I begin to speak it. I begin to declare it over my family. I start thanking the Lord for this salvation and this person in my family. I begin thanking God that He's meeting all my needs in this business, in this company, in my personal budget. I start thanking God. I thank Him now because He's already taken care of it, and my response is to be generous when He shows me to be generous, to pray when He shows me to pray, to go and be loving to someone, to enter into the good works that He's prepared in advance for me to do. But those don't get anything from God. He's already given it to me. See how this applies to prayer. Lord, please don't forsake us. And we pray the psalm that David said, do not take your spirit from me. So we sound all spiritual because we're even using David's prayer. But David was living in an inferior covenant. He might have had a fantastic, amazing walk with God that we should emulate to be known as men and women with a heart after God. But the truth is, in the new covenant, God said, I will never leave or forsake you. So when we pray that, we're praying unbelief. We can pray, we can have heads laid on our head until we go bald. It's not going to change what we pray for until we pray in faith. It's effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of faith, praying without doubt, praying with a conviction. That it doesn't even have to sound spiritual. That'll set some people free. Doesn't even have to sound spiritual. It can just be, God, you know we have this need in our life, and you've already said that my God will supply all your needs according to riches. So God, I just thank you right now for this provision. Amen. And then Lord, I'm going to do the next thing you show me to do. Give me a creative idea. Give me a God appointment, a God incidence, in my business, whatever it is. God, I'm leaving that up to you. But I'm not going to stress about it. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, bring your petitions to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God. Now, peace can only come when you've settled something. You've settled this issue. Now, you know, on preaching this way, I run a big risk. And we have run a big risk. Because when people discover the truth, that God's not out to get them, and God isn't sending out the angel mafia to torment you because you skipped a month in your offering, when people hear that, it might sound so good that it could skip 3 or 4 or 5 months. No lightning. So, is that good business sense? Let's rather bring Clive Peck back and he can preach on the curse and on robbing God and then the income of the church doubled. Now, that's good business. Except I can't go back. Except I would do it exactly the same way again. Until people's minds get free of giving to get to a place of giving joyfully because of what they got, and then the correction is made in their minds and they see what a wonderful privilege it is to sow into the future and that they can change the future with their giving, and God commends that, God smiles on that, and their seed will multiply and even some of that will spill back in their own lives, but that's not why they give anymore. I would much rather God's people get to that place in their giving and they go forward in faith, and then you'll see the church blessed. Amen? And it's the same with prayer. You say, oh, you're watering down prayer here. You know, what about the 21-day fast? What about getting the whole city praying at exactly the same moment around the country saying the same thing? Aren't you watering it down? Well, I'd rather not water down the cross. I'd rather not water down grace. I'd rather not water down the better covenant and say to you, you're free from thinking that my prayers hinge everything. And I want you to know that, yes, God does move in response to prayer. But He moves in response to us praying in faith, with thanksgiving for what He's already done on the cross. Amen? God doesn't answer your prayers based on what you have or have not done, but on what Christ has and has not done. I want to leave one last scripture with you before we close. John 15 verse 5. I just feel it's fitting in this whole subject because I know some of our minds are going zing, zing, zing and this and that and did you mean this? And I know sometimes this can raise more questions and all that. Let's just, we're on a journey together and we're working grace out into every other aspect of our life. And this is a vital one, this area of faith and prayer. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The starting place here is knowing that apart from him, we can do nothing. See, until we believe that, we're not going to put our faith completely in this rest. While we still think that we're quite cool and quite to do and have the resources and the this and the that, and, well, God is great for Sunday and for old woman, but hey, me, I did it my way. As long as we're not at a place where we realize without Him, we can do nothing. Can you be bold enough to say that? Without Him, I can do nothing. Until we really mean that with our hearts, we have not come to the place of emptiness where we say, it's nothing about what I can do and everything about what you did. And that's how I'm going to pray going forward. Can you say amen? I want to ask you to stand in agreement with us. Some of you know Shamelia, the hairdresser. She sits over where your friends over here. But I wonder, can we stand up? She's going in for surgery tomorrow. That's the information I was given. And I want us just to pray. Russell, don't you want to come here, please? Just come and pray. This family have been through their ups and downs and stuff. And as you, when you shared last week, testimony that's starting to unravel, that I just, there was so much faith. Did you feel the faith just rise in the church? And no pressure on you, but you have to raise the dead. Have you been going to church? Have you been reading your Bible? Do you tithe? Well, I hope you do all those things, but that's not why God's going to raise the dead. Can we just stand for Shamelia as a family?
Lord, we're coming as a family to you and just say, this precious sister of ours that's going in for tomorrow to receive the results before she goes into surgery, or she has to go. Father, we just claim in the name of Jesus that you are going to heal her. Lord, our family has walked through that valley, and we know, God, that you're a good God and you do heal, and we thank you for that, Lord. So for Shamelia, Lord, I just pray for your peace upon her, her family. Bless them, be with them, Lord, and tomorrow let us hear good results, Lord, that she does not have to go for surgery. We just give you all the praise, all the thanks, Lord. Yeah. Just praise your name, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else? We just got a kind of minute or two, but if you're facing a physical situation that you might need to go see a specialist, or you've been to see the specialist, or just a life-threatening or very serious physical condition, and you're just, if you'd like prayer, don't you just raise your hand where you're standing? Come, Jen. Janet's got a testimony. Put your hand down for a minute. Jen's just got something to say.
Hi. Okay. I was just reminded there was a guy here, a couple of months back? Yes, he was sitting in the mother's room, am I correct? And during the service, God healed his heart. He was scheduled for heart surgery the following day. And he went in and they did the x-rays, whatever, to just establish what they were doing, and his heart was perfect. And that's just a few months ago. So for those of you that are scheduled for surgery, God is a healing God. And he wants to touch your body.
Yeah, it was an amazing testimony. His wife had been coming to the church for a while, and he decided to come and visit. And he had this threatening situation. And when he went back to the specialist, they were going to operate, and they found absolutely nothing wrong. And he knows it was God who healed him. And when he shared this testimony with me, there were just tears in his eyes. Those of you just needing a touch from God in that area, just raise your hands wherever you're standing. Just keep high enough that, yeah. And I want to ask folk around them, don't you want to just, we know the drill, let's go and stand with them. There's a lady over here behind you, Stewie. And there's a few folk at the back there. Before we pray, I want to pray first. And then if you feel you have a word or something, you're welcome to share that. So no praying or talking, just for a moment. We've got a song that someone brought us this morning. Just speaks of Psalm 23.